You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio, and Happy New Year. Yes, 2020 is behind us, and 2021, we are hopeful that things are much better this year. It is Rob Parker and my main man, TJ Houshmandzadeh, the former All-Pro wide receiver. Good morning, TJ, and Happy New Year to you.
Man, Rob, what's going on? Good morning and Happy New Year to yourself as well and to all the listeners out there. Happy New Year. Hope you enjoyed yourself, but you were safe at the same time.
No doubt about it. Man, TJ, we have so much to do, so much to talk about on this New Year's Day on the Dan Patrick Show. And TJ, for people don't know, TJ and I are partners. We do a podcast, a fun podcast called the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast. It's on the Extra Points Podcast Network. TJ, right? We try to help people if they trying to put...
We don't try. We actually give them some pretty good bets, man. If people have been listening and following, they can attest to that. Now, we have our slip-ups as well.
Yes,
and,
we do.
We try to limit those. But for the most part, man, we on the money with it. No pun intended.
No doubt about it. So you can download that. Check that out. Also, TJ and I have another connection. We both have Cincinnati roots. TJ, of course, played in Cincinnati for a long time. TJ, right? Cincinnati has a fond place in your heart.
That was my that was where I got my chance. I got started at. Always will have a place, at least for me and my memories in how I got going and got started in the NFL. I don't have a favorite football team, but if I did, it would probably be the Bengals. I root for them pretty much every week. I spent the majority of my career with them, and I would like to see them do well, and hopefully that time is coming soon.
Yeah, you know, not this year, but down the road, maybe it can happen. And as you know, I worked in Cincinnati. It was only 2 years, but two of the best years of my career. And I've been doing this for 35 years, but I covered the Cincinnati Reds. TJ, I was the first African-American to cover the Cincinnati Reds on a daily basis back in 1991. I worked at the Cincinnati Enquirer, and I enjoyed it so much. One last thing before we get rolling on college football playoff preview. We're going to talk about the big games, Notre Dame, Alabama, and, of course, Ohio State and Clemson. But New Year's Day tradition. I don't know if you had any in your family, TJ, but when I was growing up in New York City, my mom was from the South, Alabama, and our traditional meal on New Year's Day, pig's feet and potato salad. Have you ever had pig's feet?
You know, my mother used to make pig's feet here and there, but I've never tried it. I'm such a picky eater, man. But no, I've never tried pig's feet, never will. But my mother would, I mean, she eating chitlins and pig's feet and hog mogs and
right.
all that. I never tried any of that.
I got to admit, like, I would never eat chitlins. My mom would make chitlins. You remember, TJ, how it would stink up the house.
Man, you open all the windows.
Right.
Open up all the windows.
And like, for people who don't know what chitlins are, they're pig intestines. And you have to clean those things so thoroughly in order to eat them. I never, the smell was horrendous as a kid. I just wouldn't touch them. But I got to admit, pig's feet, my late mom, when she made them, I used to eat them, man, especially on New Year's Day. So there you go. But all right, let's get into some college football. And here we go again. Notre Dame, number 4 against Alabama in the Rose Bowl, and Ohio State and Clemson, Ohio State number 3, Clemson number 2 in the Sugar Bowl. And TJ, I don't know about you, enough with the Notre Dame love and why we have to watch them again get blown out in the big game. Who's looking forward to this game? Are you looking forward to Notre Dame against Alabama? Are you expecting an upset? Are you expecting a good football game to pull your TV close to you and get on your recliner and relax on a New Year's Day and watch a great college football game? We all know in college football America, it ain't going to happen.
Man, no, no, no. No. And that's the people that are looking forward to this are the Notre Dame alums. And it's no knock on Notre Dame. It kind of sucks that they have to play Alabama. The last two times Notre Dame has been in this situation, they've gotten blown out. Alabama is just that good. But I get it. And that's the thing. I do get why Notre Dame is playing in this game over, say, a Texas A&M.
Or Cincinnati.
Now, Cincinnati, people will say, oh, if they had to play the schedule that Notre Dame played, they wouldn't be undefeated. They wouldn't be where they are. May or may not be true. We will never know that. But you didn't want to see A&M in Alabama again. We saw what happened when they played earlier in the season. But this can be this could also be a good thing, though, because, again, 2018, when Notre Dame played, I believe they lost 30-3. Alabama's a 20-point favorite.
This is what I'm saying. This is a playoff game. Ain't it a regular season game? These are supposed to be the four best football teams in college football.
There's no way that if this is, quote-unquote, the final four, and one team is a 20-point favorite. And so you're basically saying, oh, this is going to be a non-competitive game. And if not Notre Dame, to me the question would be who? And so until they put a non-Power 5 school in it, you just can't campaign for that. Like, you can't campaign for Cincinnati because they haven't done it. They haven't.
Okay, let me just give you this. I get it, all right? They're not playing the same schedule, but this is supposed to be the college football playoff, right? So why are you discounting what Cincinnati's doing? I'll just give you a little rundown, all right? The Bearcats were 9-0. They won the American Athletic Conference Championship. Cincinnati recorded 3 victories over ranked opponents, 7 wins by 14 points or more, and posted an average margin of victory of 23.3. Okay? It's coming off consecutive 11-win seasons. And since 2018, the team, Cincinnati, is 31-5 under Luke Fickell. My only point is, then why are they playing if none of this matters? Okay? It's not like they just have one fluke season out of nowhere or whatever. My only point is, if we're only going to pick the top 4 schools or whatever that you want every year and it's the same, TJ, this is boring to me.
It's
the same teams. It's the Invitational. It's the Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State Invitational, and then they pick one other school, right? Ohio State's in no matter what. Ohio State could have played 2 games and they would have put them in.
Ohio State is one of the best 4 teams in college football. I believe they deserve to be in. And they couldn't control.
No, I get it.
They couldn't control how many games they played. And I'm with you, though. There's going to come a point in time, and it probably should have been this year, where the amount of games that Cincinnati played compared to others, and Notre Dame did play a full schedule. And they'll say, oh, Ohio State didn't. It doesn't matter to me because you want the best 4 teams. And maybe Notre Dame surprises us and puts up a fight and gives
it.
Us. No, I don't.
You don't believe
I don't.
I don't believe it.
But maybe it's possible. What you would like to see, if they're going to continue down this path of not giving a non-Power 5 school an opportunity, these non-Power 5 schools need to just start their own thing because they're fighting uphill and they're never going to get to the top. If they don't expand it or give one of these teams an opportunity, because if they get blown out, oh, okay, so is Notre Dame.
No doubt. And
what's
the difference?
You got to give them a chance. You have to give them
that. What's the difference, TJ, if Cincinnati, Texas A&M, or the only difference is Notre Dame has a huge following. They got their own TV network, games on NBC, right? They have more cachet. They got more tradition. But the facts remain, they haven't won anything since 1988. I mean 1988.
It's
Rocket Ishmael. Can I covered him in high school.
I mean,
TJ.
I blew Notre Dame out when I was in college. We didn't have a college football playoff, but it was the BCS era back then. Notre Dame, to shut us up, needs to put in a type of game to where it's like, oh, man, that was a pretty good game. They lost.
How about a win?
They're not going to win. They just need to be competitive.
Wait a minute. Have you ever heard of upsets? That's what makes sports. That's why we're all in the sports.
But have you seen Alabama play this year?
Do you remember when the Giants beat the 18-0 Patriots? The Patriots were steamrolling everybody, TJ. You remember that year? They were winning. They were scoring 35 points a game. Randy Moss, Tom Brady. It was embarrassing. I remember when Plaxico Burress predicted the score and said that the Giants would win 17-14. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
And then Tom Brady laughed in the press conference. He goes, we're only scoring 14 points? Yeah, Tom Brady, you only scored 14 points.
I hope Notre Dame has Michael Strahan, Justin Tuck, Antonio Pierce, and those guys on defense. I hope if they have that, then obviously they have a chance. But Notre Dame is a good team, and Alabama is going to show them that they don't belong on the same field as them later today. At least that's my belief. And so, like Luke Fickell and the Cincinnati Bearcats, they're going to watch that game and say, we would have put up a better game than that.
Right.
And a lot of people
could have lost by 25, too. You know, like, seriously.
But the Bearcats they're strong defensively. And so, but could they be strong defensively against an Alabama whose backups would be starters at the majority of these other schools? And so, Notre Dame, you know, I really do hope they put up a competitive game, because I'm looking forward to watching these games. I want to see some competitive games, but I just don't see it happening at all. And Notre Dame fans, don't get mad at me. I'm just calling it how I see it, and you guys probably feel the same way. You just won't say it.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
It is the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, on your January 1st, New Year's Day. Rob Parker and TJ Houshmandzadeh filling in for Dan and the Danettes. Our telephone number, 877-996-6369, 877-99 on Fox, talking about the blowout that we are expecting with number one Alabama against Notre Dame, number four, and TJ. In the other game, it's number three Ohio against number two Clemson, the Sugar Bowl. And there were a little war of words. Dabo Sweeney, the Clemson coach, in his ranking or his ranking of the teams, he put Ohio State at number 11, which is something. Let's hear what Ryan Day had to say about that.
Did you take offense to the fact that he voted you guys number 11 in the coaches poll, even though he explained his reasoning? And are you just thankful he's not on the college football playoff selection committee?
Well, yeah, I would say that. I'm happy that that's not the case. I will say this, being at the bowl game last year at the Fiesta Bowl and then having an opportunity to go on a trip, coach's trip this offseason with Dabo and his wife, they were very graceful to Nina and I. And being a young coach and Nina trying to find her way as the wife of the head coach of Ohio State, there's only a few people in the country that really can share the same experiences. And they've been unbelievable to us just in terms of giving advice. And it's a very highly competitive environment we live in. I mean, that's the way it goes. But at the end of the day, you know, we're all human, and appreciated the way that, you know, he really gave great counsel, and he's been nothing but a pro.
Hey, he didn't answer the question, did he? TJ, he just basically was like trying to be nice. What did you make of that? Does that Dabo Sweeney was trying to get Ohio State out the way to make it an easier path for him, knowing that, you know, he could lose to Ohio State? Or was he legit with picking him number 11?
Nah, Dabo's tripping. He knows good and well Ohio State is not the 11th best team in college football. Ohio State had no control over how many games they played.
And we are in the middle of a pandemic, right?
They had no control. And the crazy part is, all these coaches are the first ones to tell you, control what you can control. Don't worry about what you can't control. Control the controllables. You know how many coaches would say that in meetings? And so for Dabo to say, well, they didn't play enough games, could they really control that, Dabo, in this pandemic that's going on? Absolutely not. And so I won a really good game. And what happens when, or if, not when, if, because Clemson has a hell of a team. What happens if Ohio State wins? Then what? You lost to the 11th-ranked team, Dabo. So were you guys really not deserving to be in it, considering you had them as the 11th-best team?
That's a great point, because then they can use that, Ohio State. You know that. They always talk about billboard material or whatever. But that is a great point, TJ, that if Ohio State throttles Clemson, then what? Dabo has to answer to that. How did you lose to the number 11 team? Because that would be my question in the press conference, right? And you know what my first question would be? Do you still think Ohio State is the 11th best team in the country? If so, what does that make you? That would be my question.
Right. And if he says no, then it's like, oh, so you didn't really think they were going into it. You just didn't want to play them. You appreciate the honesty, but I guess he was honest because he knew it was going to become public record, public knowledge. And so he probably just got out in front of it. I don't get that. He knows Ohio State is one of the better teams in college football. That's the game that I'm actually looking forward to watching, is Ohio State Clemson. Because if you remember last year's game, if they score, Clemson comes back and takes the lead.
Right.
Justin Field is assuming that receiver is going to stay on the post because he had beat him earlier, and he kind of just went back outside, and Justin Fields let the ball go in anticipation, interception to end the game. And I'm sure Ohio State remembers that. And this game here, I'm actually really, really looking forward to watching this game.
How big is it for Justin Fields? Just as going forward, everybody knows he's a talented guy. Also, Ohio State quarterbacks aren't getting much love these days. We just saw what happened with Dwayne Haskins with the Washington football team. How big is this for Justin Fields, this game?
It's huge for Justin Fields because the last time that we saw him playing football, it wasn't his best game. He didn't play particularly well. And I believe people started to overanalyze, and I might be one of those people, and say, is he worthy of being the second quarterback selected after Trevor Lawrence? And so if he puts on a great display, puts on a great performance today, those questions won't be at the forefront. It's, okay, he played a really good game.
Or if he plays poorly, right, then you'll be like, okay.
Because he played pretty good last year. It's going to be I don't see him playing bad. He played pretty well last year, and so you come back with more experience, with an understanding of how they played you last year. They had some success with that. You would assume they're going to try to do some of the same things, but – Ryan Day said they pretty much have a full deck that they're playing with. They're at full strength for the most part, and so this will be good on good. And Justin Fields, in my opinion, he does need to play well, because I think some questions need to be answered on his behalf of, is he this type of player heading into the draft if that's what he chooses to do?
It is Rob Parker and TJ Houshmandzadeh filling in for the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. The flip side, the pro side, is should the Jets take him? We just heard Sam Darnold, who made a plea that he wants to stay in New York and the best is yet to come. If you're the Jets and Justin Fields is sitting there, TJ, and you're the general manager, what are you doing?
I'm not taking Justin Fields. I'm not taking a quarterback at all.
You like Sam Darnold. You've seen this guy play. You know what? Part of him reminds me of Jared Goff, and I know he hasn't played well of late, but when he was with
Jeff Fisher,
and I thought he was a bust, TJ. I thought he couldn't play. You remember how terrible the offense was? And then Sean McVay shows up, and then all of a sudden Jared Goff leads the Rams to the fifth greatest offense in the history of the NFL. So I think the same thing with Sam Darnold. We do have Sam Darnold's making a case to stay in New York.
I'm a Jet now. I know we all like to think of hypotheticals and what ifs, but I'm a Jet right now, and I love being here. I love the guys in the locker room, and I love going to work every single day here. I absolutely believe my best days are ahead, and you know, I'm just going to continue to work and put, like I said, put that work in to get better and improve every single year.
There's Sam Darnold. Where are you? You're a Sam Darnold guy.
I like Sam Darnold as a player. He's athletic. He can get outside the pocket. He can do a lot of things. And people got, like, he's still young. I believe he's 23 years old. He's young. You got guys coming into the league at 23. But when you look at the New York football Jets, as you would say, the Jetropolitans.
That's right. For people who don't know, you know, the Mets' real name is Metropolitans, the Mets. So that's why we call them the Jetropolitans.
And when you – this is, again, this is no disrespect to the guys they have on their team, but just look at their skilled players and say, could he start on another team? What team could their skilled players start on? And if you look at it, you'll say none of them.
Yeah, the cupboard is bare. There's no doubt about it. And
then all their good players, they get rid. You get rid of Jamal Adams, dumb. You get rid of Leonard Williams, dumb again. It's like, what are you guys doing? You're getting rid of your good players. And these players are going to other teams and being successful. And so, but offensively, he does not have, I mean, you look at Josh Allen a year ago, and you look at him now with Stephon Diggs. It's a completely different player.
When you have talent, it does make a difference, right? If you have people to throw to.
It's a huge difference. He does not have the guys around him that other guys have. Now, he plays a part in this. He could be playing better, but he knows what he's working with, and he probably tries to do too much because he knows what he has on his side. And that's no knock on him. That's just reality. That's just the reality of the situation.
And the other thing, too, is Adam Gase, who should be fired, I believe is going to be fired after the season for the Jets. I mean, he also has a tattered past of guys who have left his toolage, his
very, very guidance. Recently.
Right. Ryan Tannehill couldn't get anything done in Miami under Adam Gase. I think he's pretty good, right?
Look at him now.
Right. So that's what I'm saying is maybe if you get from underneath Adam Gase, there's a chance that with the right guy for Sam Darnold, and then they go out and add a receiver or two or through free agency or the draft or whatever. And the Jets have a number of free picks, top picks coming up that they have. So they're in position to add some. So that's why I'm with you. I would not give up on Sam Darnold.
No, I like Darnold. He was a high draft pick for a reason. And I say this all the time. These quarterbacks get way too much credit when things go well. And they take way too much of the blame when things go bad. But it's part of the territory. But no, I'm not drafting a quarterback if I'm the Jets, because he's going to be in the same situation that Sam Darnold is in today in 3 years. And it's going to be, oh, man, this guy's not very good. Oh, we need to move and get another quarterback. No, you need to surround him with players that can help him win games, and he can be what you thought he was going to be when you drafted him.
How about Trevor Lawrence? Can he live up to the hype? I mean, obviously, he's the consensus number one pick. Looks like he'll be headed to the Jaguars. There was some talk that he didn't want to go to the Jets. Remember that story? And that when the Jets had the first overall pick, that he might use his leverage not to go there. And now, instead of going to New York, the media capital of the world, you're headed to Jacksonville, Florida, and a franchise that, you know, even when times are good, TJ, can't sell tickets, so much so that they have every year two games in Europe and one game on Mars. I mean, they do anything they can to have games not in Jacksonville. Can he live up to all the hype? Is he that great?
He looks to be, that's for sure. What we've seen and what I've seen in college football at Clemson, he looks to be the part. But again, when you look at it, he's going to be in a division with the Tennessee Titans, pretty good. Indianapolis Colts, pretty good. Houston Texans, not very good, but a stud quarterback.
Right.
And so that division alone is going to be tough. But then you look at, if had the Jets not won as many games as of late, he would be competing with the Bills, the Patriots, and the Dolphins. So there's nothing easy in the NFL. But I believe he'll have a ton of success. Jacksonville has shown recently that they could win and do well. They just can't sustain.
They should have won a couple years ago. If you remember,
they were
up 20-10 in the fourth quarter up in New England, and the defense, which had been so good, gave it up, right? In the fourth quarter, they were leading 20-10 in that game.
They got a little excited, probably got a tad bit conservative. They didn't think that the Patriots could come back, and they cost themselves an opportunity to advance and knock the Patriots out. And since then, they also have gotten rid of a lot of good players. Leonard Fournette, Jalen Ramsey, Calais Campbell, and Ngakoue. They've gotten rid of a ton of players. And so they could win there. And Trevor Lawrence, you don't know if Doug Marrone's going to be back. You would assume he's not. Who's going to be the next head coach? What system do they implement? But if you can get one of the better quarterbacks in a long time to come out as your first pick and your cornerstone of your organization, that's a great start.
No doubt. But the college football playoff, we'll get to watch some of these guys play. So you're looking forward to the Ohio State Clemson. Are you expecting anything, TJ, other than Alabama and Clemson again? Is that what you're expecting?
No, I'm not.
Or is there a chance of Ohio State upsetting Clemson?
Yes, I'm expecting Alabama for sure. Who they play, I don't know. And that's why I'm looking forward to that game, because I believe it's going to be very competitive. Ohio State can match up with Clemson and vice versa. They both have great athletes, speed, depth, good quarterback play, and so that's why that game is going to be, in my opinion, one to see. I just hope, it lives up to what I expect it to be. That's all.
All right. It is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, TJ Houshmandzadeh. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Cleveland Browns. Will they blow this, TJ? And the five AFC teams that are all 10-5, which one of them will be on the outside looking in? That and much more. It is New Year's Day here on Fox Sports Radio. Stick and stay, America.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Happy New Year. Yes, sir. January 1st, 2021. It is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker and TJ Houshmandzadeh. If you listen to Fox Sports Radio, you know I have an evening show from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard will be live tonight. And TJ Houshmandzadeh, his show is Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Up on Game, it's where all the ex-football players talk their talk, TJ, LeVar Arrington, and Plaxico Burress. So you need to check that out as well. And that's a fun show, TJ. Are you guys having fun with that so far?
I actually like it. It's been, what you said, it's been fun and learning along the way. But so far, so good in my eyes with the show. We'll keep improving and getting better. And I like where it's going.
Yeah, very nice. I was on last week, and, I picked up a pair of off-white Jordans in a bag, with Plaxico. I know TJ was like, man, he let Rob just kind of come in and, steal a pair of sneakers
right? You did hustling. You got him. You hustled him.
Our bet for people who didn't hear that show is that Plaxico said the Nets would not make the Eastern Conference Finals. It's one thing, TJ, to bet somebody. Like, if he would have bet me, like, the Nets won't make it to the finals or the Nets won't win the championship, I could see that bet. But to think that they're not going to be one of the two best teams in the Eastern Conference when it's all over?
Hey, for some off-whites, Rob, you got to take that bet all day.
All day, every day. All right, here's a bet I'm not taking, which is the Bucks making it to the Super Bowl. But Bucks coach Bruce Arians said it's Super Bowl or bust for his team, and if they don't make it, the season has been a failure. Let's hear what he had to say.
That's Super Bowl or bust. That's the goal every year. Mm-hmm. And you can't get to the Super Bowl if you don't get in the playoffs. So getting into the playoffs was huge for us. It's been a fun year. There's a lot of football left, and we're really excited to be playing.
I like it. Super Bowl or bust. I don't think it's overstated. You don't bring Tom Brady in just to make the playoffs or just to win two or three more games than Jameis Winston. That wasn't the goal. If Jameis Winston cut down his interceptions, cut him in half, TJ, they probably would have won a couple more games and had a chance to make it to the playoffs with the talent that team already had coming in. But you don't bring in Tom Brady and celebrate making the playoffs for the first time in 13 years, right? This is about – Brady's about Super Bowls. Am I right or wrong?
I'm with you on that. I believe, like everyone else, it's what you said. I believe they were 7-9 last year.
Right.
If Jameis Winston cuts down half of those interceptions,
instead of 30 interceptions, he goes to 15 or 12. Don't tell me that they wouldn't have won three games more.
I believe they would have won four more. Easily 11-5.
Yes.
Easily. And so when you bring a player the caliber of Tom Brady – and assuming could be bad, but the playoffs were, they're getting in the playoffs. They're for sure going to get in the playoffs with what he has, that defense and those offensive weapons. Now it's just when you get into the playoffs, what are you going to do? And I 100% agree with Bruce Arians. Anything outside of a Super Bowl was a failure. It has to be that way. And so my preseason before the season started, Super Bowl matchup was the Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow. So you bought into the hype from day one. You thought they had enough.
Yeah, as you know, I was the first guy to say Tom Brady was going to be playing with the Bucs when he was still playing with the Patriots, and everybody thought I was crazy.
They said, TJ's Meshuggah. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
And I said, okay. He's going to the Bucs? No, he'll never go to. Yes, he is. And it was because he did his research. He was smart. Great defense, warm weather, great skill players.
I thought he went down there for the early bird specials, no?
He probably did do that as well. But he playing a little football in the meantime.
Here's my thing. Tom Brady hasn't lived up all the way. Him not making the Pro Bowl, they picked Kyler Murray over him.
Rob, come on
now.
Come
I'm going to give it to you because with the weapons that he has, everybody thought Tom Brady was going to go off. And TJ, let's be fair, you can rack up numbers in the NFL, and he's done it against bad teams. He struggled against better teams, good teams. Even that win over Green Bay, he had three touchdowns because – Aaron Rodgers had a bad day, set him up close. Look at the numbers. He only had like 160 yards in that game. He wasn't great. Couldn't beat the Saints. Couldn't score in Chicago against the Bears. Go look at it. Against the better teams, they've struggled.
When you look at passing yards in the NFL, one Tom Brady is in the top five.
Yeah, but they throw the ball more. I'm not that big on passing yards. I'm in quarterback – the quarterback
rating.
What
are you big on? Just let me know, and I'll give you another one. Just let me know what you
quarterback
want.
Rating. Where is he? Is he in the top five?
Yes. He's tied.
He's got more interceptions than he's had in how many years? He's got what, 9 or 10 interceptions, a number of pick sixes, and give me other than Green Bay, what's their other signature win?
It doesn't matter.
No, okay.
No,
right.
No. It doesn't matter because he's getting them to the – everybody plays pretty much the same schedule. If it was that easy, why isn't everybody winning 11 games every year?
Because that team won 7 games without him is my point, is that there was enough talent. And then they loaded up TJ. They got Antonio Brown.
They got Antonio Brown midway during the season.
Okay.
He's not
they
even playing Leonard, 50% of the snaps.
They got Leonard Fournette.
He's not
they
even
got
playing
Shady
50%.
McCoy. They got Gronk. I mean, they brought put the band back together. They were doing anything and everything. And all I heard was Tom Brady has so many weapons. Oh, this is going
to
be easy.
So you like the Packers over the Bucks, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, what's the Packers' signature win?
They beat Tennessee, and they beat New Orleans in New Orleans. They have 2 of them.
Okay, and the team that
tell
you—
Tell me that the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans, that ain't a signature win.
It's a signature win, but it's really not a signature win because the fans. The fans, when you have to play in front of that packed house in a Superdome, it's tough.
You still got to play. They still had to go down. They came from behind. They won that game, man. I don't want to hear that.
But the
same thing with the Tennessee Titans. Oh, you know, the Packers can't stop the run, and Derrick Henry's going to run over them, and blah, blah, blah. They made mincemeat out of the Titans. That was a big win.
The Packers defense, they showed up. But this same Packers team that you're talking about got crushed by the Bucs team that you don't think is very good.
That was early in the season, and what was that, week 3? They were up 10-0 in that game, and Aaron Rodgers had a bad game, a bad day at the office.
Okay.
Back-to-back interceptions or whatever it was, and that turned the game around. Would you admit that?
And when the Bucs lost to the Saints, what weeks were those games? They were both early. And so when you look at, like, they played them first game of the season. Nobody expected Tom Brady and the Bucs to win that game because no offseason program. You got to get on the same page. Everything was new, the offense. And so.
You still think they're going to the Super Bowl? You sticking with your pick?
Yeah, I'm sticking
with
my
pick. Can we make a bet, Mr. TJ Husmanzada?
You think I'm Plaxico. You're trying to hustle me now. We can make a bet. You pick your 2 teams.
It's about the Bucs. I'm betting you strictly. You got the Bucs making the Super Bowl. I got the rest of the NFC.
That's a sucker bet.
No, it ain't. Could you believe in the Bucs?
I do.
I
do believe.
Randy Raven telling me about how great Tom Brady is.
I believe in my money more, though.
No,
it
ain't a sucker bet because you're going to beat me. You're going to get a pair of $200 Jordans. That's our limit, $200 Jordans.
And honestly, though, and what's going on with the coronavirus? I can't take that bet. Tom Brady comes down with the coronavirus. He can't play in a playoff game. Man, no way, no how. Ain't that what you were saying? No way, no how.
877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Are you with Bruce Arians? I like it. He's putting some pressure on Tom Brady. You came down here. We gave you a ton of money for a 43-year-old quarterback. You better deliver us to the promised land. Otherwise, it's a failure. Let's hear what people have to say.
He's going to show up. Mark in Sacramento, the Dan Patrick Show. Talk to us.
Here we are, gentlemen, in a new year.
No doubt, Mark.
And a better one, I hope. 2020, get the hell out of here.
No doubt.
It's a bad year. Hey, what I think, Rob, is what you just said we talked about before with Arian putting pressure on him. As you said that, I thought about something. I listened to Arian say that. You know what that sounded like to me? Those owners above Arian said that to him. That's what it sounds like to me. Well, we spent all this money. We bought Tom Brady in here. We bought Antonio Brown in here. We went and got Gronk for you. Y'all better win. That's an owner edict to me. That's what it sounds like.
No, I hear you. There's no doubt that they were expecting this
team. And they should have told that owner, "You win the last time you won. Man, you don't get out of here with this."
Hey, but wait a minute. Tampa Bay has won a Super Bowl, so let's not act like the franchise never won.
Man, it's
that I know it's
John Gruden won with Tony Dungy's team. Yeah, I
remember
know.
That.
Yeah.
That was some Super Bowl. That was the first time I think a number one offense was up against a number one defense in the Super Bowl. And you remember the defense for the Bucs scored as many points as the Raiders did.
They shut them down. That defense of Tony Dungy, of John Gruden, shut them down.
877-99-ON-FOX. Want to jump in? We got one more.
Bobby in Florida, you're on the Dan Patrick Show. Talk to us.
Yes. Mr. Parker, I love your show.
Thank you.
Great with Chris. I don't want to insult your friend because I don't know how to pronounce his name.
TJ Houshmandzadeh.
You can just call me TJ, man.
Happy New Year. But, Rob, I got to tell you, I think you're just a Tom Brady hater.
Oh, me?
Talk to him, Bobby. Yeah,
Brady. I think Rob Parker's a Tom Brady hater. I mean, look, you talk about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has been in one Super Bowl. He gets them there or gets them not even to the Super Bowl thing every year. He's like Peyton Manning, can win great in regular games in the regular season, but doesn't bring him anywhere else. Tom Brady's been to 9 Super Bowls.
I'm asking you, though, and Bobby, is he going to the Super Bowl this year, Bobby? Let's talk about the present. He doesn't have Bill Belichick. He doesn't have Bill Belichick's defense. He might not have the lucky rabbit's foot he keeps in his back pocket. Are they going to the Super Bowl, Bobby?
No.
Yeah, see? Why not? Why not?
Hey, when they go, Bobby, you call back in.
People say, it's so hard to get there. So many things change during the season. Not only that, with COVID and everything, it just disrupted everything. But I still think that take what is Brady's win and loss record for his whole career.
We don't have time for that, Bobby. Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate
it. It's a lot to a little.
That's right. I get that on the Dan Patrick Show. Rob Parker and TJ Houshmandzadeh. TJ, I still think they're not going to get there. I can't believe that you're so, big time, still backing Tom Brady. You love what the Bucks have done. You're all in, but you won't bet me that they're going to get to the Super Bowl.
It's a sucker.
No, like, it ain't. How?
When you pick your Super Bowl participants in September and it still looks like it can happen, man, I like that. I'm rolling. Why would I change now? I like that.
Why won't you ante up? Why won't you put something up if you feel so good about it? How come Tom Brady didn't make the Pro Bowl if he was so prolific? You giving me all the numbers.
He should have.
Why didn't he make the Pro Bowl?
He should have.
They took Kyler Murray, who's on a trending downward.
Hey, Rob, I was an all-pro more than I was a Pro Bowler. Go figure that.
Is that right?
Yeah. So go figure. Go figure. Jalen Ramsey, I mean, you just look like he didn't even get many fan votes. The players and the coaches voted him in. The Pro Bowl is a popularity thing, and if you're not buddy-buddy with your opposing teams before the – I remember – when you do the Pro Bowl vote, and I had a buddy on another team say, bruh, nobody on defense wants to vote for you. They say you talk too much during the game. So they were mad. I'm like, really? He was like, bro, they don't even want to vote for you. So, they be making things personal.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
It is the Dan Patrick Show on your January 1st. Happy New Year 2021. We are happy that 2020 is behind us. Rob Parker and TJ Houshmandzadeh. If you listen to Fox Sports Radio, you know I'm on The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And TJ Houshmandzadeh has a show Up on Game every Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern, with LeVar Arrington and Plaxico Burress, my new best friend. So you can check those guys out. Also, TJ and I have a fun podcast called the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast. It's on the Extra Points Podcast Network. And every week, TJ and I give some advice and some picks for NFL football. And TJ, speaking of that, We have some big games this weekend, a lot of playoff implications. But there are three quarterbacks who I think when you look at, you know, having something to ride on this, these games, either in a good way or a negative way, I'm looking at Tua in Miami, Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, and Kyler Murray in Arizona. And which quarterback do you think, and I'd like to hear about all three of them from you, but has something to prove in week 17?
Has something to prove, and he better prove it considering what he's facing is Baker Mayfield, no question. He doesn't get into the playoffs, and you were 10-4 with two games remaining, and, oh, you just have to beat the Jets and you're in? That would be a huge disappointment. And, oh, it's their first winning season and however many, that doesn't matter. Baker Mayfield needs to get the Cleveland Browns to the playoff. Ben Roethlisberger will not be playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm sure they'll have some other guys resting as well. Baker, in my opinion, needs to get it done.
And TJ, I'm with you 100%. They're 10-point favorites. The Steelers aren't playing their number one quarterback. Mason Rudolph is playing. Other guys will be rested. If you lose a game at home, right, that's 10-point favorites, and all you got to do is win to get in. You don't need help from anybody. You just got to win the game.
I believe this is the first time in, I want to say, 14 years that the Browns have been a double-digit favorite over a team with a winning record.
Is that right? Wow.
And that was just off the top of my head. I might be wrong. But it's been a long time. And the way Baker's played very well since Odell has gone out. They run the ball very effectively with Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Was it the Titans that they beat that I was impressed? Was that the win, TJ, on the road, right?
I said 14 years. I meant to say 52 years.
Has it been 52 years since they've been double? What?
And that's my point. And so the Browns and Baker Mayfield, they need to win this game. Ben's not going to play. They're going to have other guys. And then you go to Tua and Kyler Murray. Tua's a rookie. Anything he gives you, it's a bonus. He's a rookie.
But wait a minute, TJ. Here's the problem. They're not all in on Tua in Miami. Let's just face it. Whenever you're playing a journeyman like Fitzpatrick, who we know turns into Fitzpumpkin and is not good, he hasn't been to playoffs. He's been playing in the league for 65 years. He's not that guy. Yes, he has some moments. He's bounced around to a dozen teams. He's been all over. And when you're giving snaps to that guy over Tua, who was a first-round pick and was a star at Alabama, it's telling me you don't really fully believe or buy into Tua, and they have a chance to draft a quarterback in this draft. They have a high enough pick that they can get a quarterback. So to me, I think you're being naive when it comes to Tua, because if he flops or he doesn't play well, they could really say, well, he was okay. Maybe he wasn't the guy we thought he was, and we can go in a different direction. This is not the old days where you're locked into quarterbacks because they got $100 million guaranteed or something. You can get away or get rid of people and move on from quarterbacks. You don't think he has something to prove if he flops in this game?
No, he's a rookie. You know what's so crazy? Tua would have been the first pick of the draft had he not gotten hurt at Alabama his last year. He'd have been the first pick of the draft. He'd have been drafted ahead of Burrow. He was drafted ahead of Herbert. And so they're not giving up on Tua. Brian Flores is doing something very unconventional. Tua wasn't playing well. I'm like everyone else. It wasn't going to get any better. Let's see if our backup can do any better.
No, oh, but he you did. Know he what your backup is, though. No, come on. You there's do no know. Future there. Where's your future
you
in
know
Miami?
What, you know what the
is
future
it Tua
was?
Or Fitzpatrick?
This was the future. Let's win this game to keep our playoff hopes alive. Our starting quarterback wasn't playing well. Let's see if our backup can give us a spark. Oh, wow, he did.
Well, wait a minute. In the game, the first game he put him in, he threw a pick. You remember that?
Yes.
And lost the game.
Yes.
I'm just saying Fitzpatrick isn't your future. I want Tua to learn. How do you learn, TJ? You learn in games.
See, this is this old.
You learn in games. That's how you learn.
And he played the game, and he wasn't playing well, so they took him out of the game and put in a quarterback that they felt could help them win the game. The problem is, these quarterbacks have been babied by you guys in the media over and the quarterback position is the only position. Oh, you draft the quarterback. Oh, my God, he lost his confidence because we drafted a quarterback. But every other position, you can draft everybody every year, and it's compete. But when you draft the quarterback, oh, my God, I hope we didn't hurt his feelings because we drafted another quarterback. You got to compete like everybody else. And if it's a problem that you have to compete, you're not the quarterback for this team. Why are quarterbacks an exempt? They're exempt all the time. Oh, you can't yell at your quarterback. Oh, you can't criticize your quarterback. Oh, you can't pull your quarterback. Oh, your quarterback can't have any competition. Why?
I get all that, but it's
okay,
like,
no.
But wait a minute. Your points are well taken, but it's like the old adage. If you have two girlfriends, neither one is any good. Because that's
hey,
why you need
I don't
need
know
two.
About that one. No, no. I'm just playing. My wife sleeps, so she ain't hearing that.
I was going to say, your wife did not hear that. I hope not.
If she did hear it, she going to knock me in the head as soon as I walk in the house. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and my ex-wife heard it, and that's why she's my ex-wife. No, I'm just kidding. But TJ, you know, like the whole idea, that's why we haven't seen two quarterbacks work in the NFL. You got to get a guy who's your guy. And my only point is, I'm not wasting snaps on a journeyman quarterback who's never been to the playoffs.
So would you,
I'm just not.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather lose a game that would pretty much knock you out of playoff contention or go with the backup quarterback that you could see is going to give you a spark? And if he doesn't give you the spark, you were probably going to lose the game anyway. So you would rather lose and miss the playoffs than try that.
What's my long-term goal? Is it I think I can win a Super Bowl with Tua. If I believe he's my guy, then I want him to be in all those big moments and get all those snaps
so
that matter.
You
That's
saw,
what I'm – you know, I,
but
if,
you would rather
you put,
lose this game then. So you would say, okay, we'll lose the Raider game and miss out on the playoffs. You're willing to do that just so you can see if this is your guy.
Yes, I need to know – before the draft happens, if he's really my guy and whether or not I believe in him. All right, let's go to the third guy. Kyler Murray. You remember this, TJ, after that Hail Murray to beat the Bills. They shouldn't have won that game. You remember that play, right?
Yeah, yes.
And Cliff Kingsbury was all giddy and like, oh, you know, from here on out, we should the Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes should exchange MVPs every other year. Hello, do you remember that?
I do.
He was already putting them in the MVP conversation. Then I think they lost three games in a row after that, and for whatever reason, it looks like the league kind of figured out Kyler, take away his legs, keep him in the pocket, make him throw the football, and they've struggled, okay? Now they got to play the Rams team, no Jared Goff, no Cooper Kupp, no Henderson, right, the running back. He has a high ankle sprain. Right? They got to beat the Rams in order to get into the playoffs.
Do you think they win?
They should win, yes.
They're not winning.
Oh, you're going to say they're not going to.
No, they're not
going to. The Cardinals are not going to win a depleted Rams team that lost to the Jets at home?
Yes, they're not going to win. The Rams are very good defensively. And for some, like I've talked to people with the Rams organization yesterday. True story. And they're very optimistic that Wolford is going to play pretty well. They're optimistic. Who?
I know
John
Wolford who played in that. What
John
was that league? The AAF
Wolford,
or whatever that
yes,
is?
Yes, John Wolford is going to play well. He's a really good athlete, had really good practices this week. And so they're cautiously optimistic that the pressure in the situation is not going to get to him. And if that's the case, they're going to win, and they're going to win very easily. If the pressure gets to them, they're still going to win because their defense is going to bring it home for them.
Wow.
And so, Kyler, the Cardinals, they started off well, hit a little rough spot, get lucky against the Bills.
Right.
But they're really – they're not a playoff team. And so
– how did they figure out Kyler Murray? What was that, TJ? Because we saw – and I know he made the Pro Bowl over Tom Brady, but we did see him take a step back this year. Am I right?
I mean, he gets a lot of passes batted down, but they don't have up front what they need completely for him to be as successful as he needs to be. They have the skill players, but the Cardinals aren't, in my opinion, a playoff caliber team, and so I don't expect them to win. And so when Kyler Murray's not in the playoffs, it's not going to surprise me. And he might or he may or may not be banged up regardless. I believe the Rams have a better team. Now, you're playing a quarterback, and this is first start in the NFL. You have a tremendous advantage. You should try to confuse him. You should try to pressure him. And if you're able to do that, you're going to give yourself a chance. But when you have a quarterback making his first start that's athletic, that can use his legs, that will also help him as well.
All right, we want to hear from you, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369 is the phone number. Which quarterback has the most to prove in Week 17? Is it Tua? Is it Baker? Is it Kyler? You know, we just mentioned Kyler. Man, I think he has to win that game. I really do, and I know that they haven't been great, but I think he has to win.
I mean, with Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp not playing, the Cardinals should win, but they won't.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, and you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.